is a recording of the Robert Greenstein Conference with the Center on Budget and Policy on April 30th, 2014 at noon Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding. We now have your presenters in conference. Please be aware each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you'd like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to introduce our presenter, Ms. Shannon Spillane.
Thanks so much, David. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining today's call. I'm Shannon Spillane, Vice President for Communications with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Today's call will focus on the Center's forthcoming report that examines states' deep cuts to higher education and dramatic increases in tuition. It also discusses the implications of these cuts for students and their families and for state economies. You all should have received an advanced copy of the report via email. A reminder that the report and the contents of this call will remain under embargo until 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, May 1st, or midnight tonight. Our speaker for today's call is Michael Mitchell, policy analyst here at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities and co-author of the report. Joining him for Q&A is Nicholas Johnson, Vice President for State Fiscal Policy. Following Michael's remarks, we'll turn to your questions, and I'll now turn it over to Michael.
Thanks, Shannon. Again, as Shannon said, tomorrow, the Center is releasing a report that discusses the significant challenges facing state funding for higher education. Specifically, both in the paper and today on this call, we focus on trends in funding along with tuition costs since 2008. We also focus on what these cuts mean in terms of the schools themselves, and more importantly for students and families, and also what it means for the broader economy. Our findings from this paper and our research indicate that state cuts to higher education since the start of the recession have been both severe and they have been widespread. Over the past 6 years, nationwide, states have cut higher education funding by an average of about 23%, or just over $2,000 per student after adjusting for inflation. Now, over this time, every state except for Alaska and North Dakota is spending less per student today than they did 6 years ago. In many states, the cuts have been extraordinarily deep. Nine states have cut funding, have cut per student funding by more than a third, more than 33%. And in three states, Arizona, Louisiana, and South Carolina, per student funding is down over 40%. We know that the cuts that have taken place over the past 6 years were obviously in part a result of the state revenue collapse caused by the economic downturn. As the economy soured, tax revenues fell accordingly. But they were also a product of poor policy choices, with states relying heavily on spending cuts to make up for lost revenue. A more balanced mix of spending cuts and revenue increases could have lessened the need for deep cuts to higher education. And I can't stress enough how much of this is a policy choice and not simply predetermined. For instance, over the past year, things have been vastly different. In 42 states, per student funding between last year and this year has gone up. Among states that are reinvesting, spending is up almost $450 per student, or just north of 7%, around 7.2% on average. 10 states increased funding by more than 10%. Now, unfortunately, at the same time, 8 states continued to cut, reducing higher education funding over the past year. And I'm more than happy to provide a list of who those states are, but the PAC is led by three states, Wyoming, West Virginia, and Louisiana, seeing the largest reductions in per student spending. These cuts, both over the full 6 year period and over the past year for those 8 states, have real and serious implications for families and 2- and 4-year colleges. State and local governments play a huge role in supporting public higher education, providing just over half, around 53%, of the revenue used to support instruction at these schools. When this funding gets cut, public institutions generally must either raise tuition, they have to cut spending, or they have to enact some combination of those two things. And this combination is exactly what we've seen since the start of the recession. From a tuition standpoint, on average, annual published in-state tuition at public 4-year colleges has grown by over $1,900, or about 28% over the last 60 years. Over that same time span, six states, average tuition is up by over 60%. And while obviously tuition in all states has increased over the full six-year period, in the past year, again, because a number of states started putting dollars back into higher education, we actually see average tuition at four-year public institutions decline in 12 states after adjusting for inflation. Now, since 2008, federal financial aid has really stepped up and helped to moderate some of the rising tuition costs, especially for low-income students. But once we factor in other expenses such as room and board, transportation, other living costs, the net cost of attending college has increased even for those receiving the largest amounts of federal financial aid on average. And I think, you know, as we talk about rising costs, I want to take one second and kind of step back, because right now we've talked a lot about a reduction in state support coupled with increased demands on students. And I want to emphasize what this means in a kind of a longer term, more broad trend. Over the last 25 years, nearly every state has shifted higher education costs from state to students. This has been a trend for some time, but the recession and those years following the recession absolutely kicked this shift into high gear. In 1988, average tuition amounts were larger than per student state expenditures in only two states, New Hampshire and Vermont. And what I mean by per student state expenditures, all I'm saying here is that average tuition in New Hampshire and Vermont was greater than the amount that the states of New Hampshire and Vermont were putting in on a per-student basis. In 1988, those were the only two states doing that, meaning that in 48 states at that time, there was a commitment to ensuring that public education was just that, a public commitment. Fast forward 20 years, by 2008, that number had grown modestly to 10 states, one in five. However, today, tuition revenue now outweighs government funding for higher education in 23 states, nearly half, with six states asking students and families to shoulder higher education costs by a ratio of at least 2-1. Many have dubbed this phenomenon, the shift, the Great Cost Shift. Rising costs to students have impacts on enrollment, especially for low-income students. In fact, some of the research that we've looked at indicates not only do tuition increases act as a deterrent for students from enrolling altogether, but among those students who do enroll, it plays a role in what college a kid will ultimately choose. With low-income students and even students of color, and the research that we've seen especially highlights African-American and Latino children as being susceptible to this, those students opt for less competitive, less selective colleges, which may lower their lifetime earnings. Let's put that another way. It means that state decisions right now, state lawmakers are making decisions today on whether or not students have access to affordable and higher education, which can have serious implications on the economic security of that person years down the line. Rising costs also play a role in growing levels of student debt. Nationally, between 2008 and 2012, average debt has gone up by about $2,400, or roughly 20% for bachelor's degree recipients graduating from public institutions. As we've noted in previous research, greater levels of debt push back major lifetime milestones, such as home ownership and starting a family, and these are milestones that help with growing wealth and strengthening our economy. But tuition increases alone and rising costs of attendance, as steep as they have been, have made up only a part of the revenue loss resulting from state funding cuts. Public colleges and universities have also cut spending. And we've looked broadly across the country and we've included a number of anecdotes in our report highlighting some of the reductions schools have decided to implement. Broadly, we've seen that schools have eliminated faculty positions, they've increased class sizes, frozen staff salaries, instituted furloughs, they've cut course offerings and eliminated entire departments, all things which may potentially threaten educational quality and ultimately impact how many kids graduate. Our economy, this is very important not only for the individual students, their economic well-being, but it's also important for our economy and future economic growth because it is directly tied to having more students go to college. National research is showing that by the year 2020, roughly 65% of all job openings will require some form of college education. At our current rate of producing college graduates, we're going to fall about 5 million workers short of meeting that need. For states, then, the bottom line is clear. To ensure a strong and fully working economy, more broadly accessible and affordable public higher education has to be available. Now, reinvesting in higher education is going to take sound tax and budget decisions moving forward. State revenues are beginning to come back to pre-recession levels, and at the very least, states will need to avoid short-sighted tax cuts that would make it much harder for them to invest in higher education, strengthen the skills of their workforce, and compete for the jobs of the future. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Shannon.
Thanks so much, Michael.